This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Co-hosting with me today is Emilio Dinello. This episode is an interview with former professional footballer Robbie Earle, who is a pundit for NBC Sports covering the Premier League. You can see him on Premier League mornings along with Rebecca Lowe, Robbie Musto, and Kyle Martino. Robbie and the NBC team will be broadcasting live this weekend from the Cask and Flagon in Boston, so I thought it would be a great time to get him on the show. I look forward to speaking with Robbie, but before I do anything else, I'll have to welcome him to the show. Robbie, thank you for joining me on Cottage Talk along with Emilio.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Well, listen, Robbie, just to get us going here, through your eyes, you know, again, we have our own views of Fulham this season. You've been watching, so I just want to get your overall view. In your eyes, what went wrong?
Well, that's a really tough question. I think when Fulham came into the league, if it's possible, there was almost too much change. There were so many players that were bought in at different levels of whether some were bought, some were loaned, obviously from different clubs, a different way. When Fulham, I watched a lot of Fulham get promoted from the Championship, and they had an identity, a style, a way of playing.
Yep.
I think they came into the league, and some of that got lost in whether it was new formations. It didn't look to me like managers knew the best 11, the best way to play. They were caught between trying to play some of the Fulham football that was possession-based in the Championship against better players and better opposition that didn't work. I know that a lot of money was spent by the ownership and you know, in many respects, I think there was a confidence and a bit of positivity around the cottage when Fulham came up. But you can sometimes make too much change. You can bring in too many bodies, personalities. I've lived my life in dressing rooms, and a lot of success comes from chemistry, knowing your teammate, understanding each other. And I never quite felt that Fulham got to grips with that, got the blend of that during the course of the season. And we find ourselves here with 8 games to go, and I'm looking in a decidedly difficult position in the bottom 3 of the league.
Okay. Well, what's interesting is that you actually met with our co-host, Max Cohen, at the New York City Fan Fest, and Max asked you some very good questions. One of the things that struck me is I just went back to listen to it. You talked about a lot with him about individual errors. This has been a theme through Fulham season. I think Max asked you, how do you deal with that? So, again, I want to ask you again because it continued throughout the entire season.
It's a really good question, and I think Max asked me at the time about Claudio Ranieri, and I said I thought Ranieri would do the job because what this team needed to do was learn how to defend and defend properly, defend with accountability where people would take ownership of mistakes, and that's never really happened. And as a coach, you can put on as many training sessions as you want, you can put as many video sessions as needed, you can have as many talks is necessary, but when a player runs out on the pitch and doesn't pick somebody up from a corner, doesn't follow a run, plays a terrible offside. Those are individual errors. Now, when individual errors happen once or twice, you can sometimes put up with that. When they're happening on a regular basis, is the way that Leicester City were, Football Club were, then the only thing you can do is change that person. That person has to come out of the team, and somebody else has to either begin the opportunity to put it right, or else you have to go and buy and find somebody else to do the job. Now, I think at Fulham, people were getting too long, too many mistakes, too many individual errors. And the most difficult thing I would think be if I was a Fulham fan is that if I look at the top half of my team, I think it's a Premiership top half of the team. So I'm talking striker, wide players, enough in midfield is enough Premiership. When I talk about the goalkeeper and the back four, that's almost Championship. That's not the defending that keeps you in a Premier League. You've got to remember, we're talking about some of the best forwards in Europe.
Absolutely.
Arguably some best in the world. Harry Kane, Sergio Aguero, Mo Salah, you know, Eden Hazard. These are people who, listen, if you don't make mistakes, sometimes these guys can punish you. But if you're going to if you're not going to track a run, if you're not going to pick somebody up from the set piece, if you're going to play an offside that's not to be got, then you're going to find yourself in trouble.
Okay, very good. One other point, and then I'm going to go to Emilio to ask you a question, because I think Emilio's going to have an opinion about what I'm about to share with you. You mentioned in your interview, this is going back to December, talking about Alfie Mawson. You thought Alfie Mawson could be a very good player for Fulham, and you said once he gets fit, right? I remember listening to this.
Yeah.
Well, he got fit, and he played well, and Emilio will attest to this. Things were going well, and then he got injured again, and everything changed, and I think that affected Ranieri's time at Fulham. What are your thoughts about can one player, a center back, change your fate? I hate to put it all on one player.
It can absolutely happen. Absolutely happen. Because, and I'll give you a perfect example. For all that's happened at Liverpool Football Club, Virgil van Dijk has been the most single important signing in the last few years. He's changed them from an exciting club that are going to be top four to title contenders. Because a dominant centre-back not only plays well himself and has a influence over the back four and the goalkeeper behind him, but he also has an influence over the midfield in front of him, who he's talking to, who he's working with, who he's pulling back when they need to and making sure that they're defensive, who's pushing them forward when they need to get games. That central figure in a back four is almost, I think, the second manager. The game, you see the game. The game comes to you. Everybody's in front of you, bar the goalkeeper. You see, everybody's next to you. You can almost manoeuvre the pitch. You've got the control of the team from that position. And if you've got a good guy in there, and I think inherently inside Alfie Mawson, he's a good, solid defender. The injuries haven't helped. Coming into a team that was a little bit low on confidence and conceding goals as they were didn't help. But I think a fit and healthy Alfie Mawson all season might have been a different outlook for Fulham as things stand.
Yeah, hi Robbie, it's Emilio here in London. So I agree with your point, because I saw sort of Lewis Dunk type of credentials in Alfie Mawson in December. Sort of leading from the back, communicating with his defenders. I thought Sergio Rico, we were complimenting how confident Sergio Rico was in goal November, December time. And that, I believe, is because he had somebody he could communicate with directly in front of him, a leader at the back, like you were just mentioning. As soon as Mawson went off injured and has pretty much disappeared for the rest of the season, Rico started to make a lot of errors, has no communication skills, constantly on his line, doesn't come out. The back four continued to leak goals for fun. And I just think I actually thought that was the biggest blow, not obviously of the other factors we've talked about, obviously factors for the demise of the club this season, but I actually thought we were showing some promise in December. Keeping one all draw, we should have won. Drew with Leicester 1-1, we should have won. We drew 0-0 in Newcastle and Huddersfield, we didn't concede goals. We had two clean sheets in December. That's all thanks to Alfie Mawson coming to strengthen the defence. So that's I think that's a point I recognise as well. But I tend to, we've talked at length, amongst all our fans, journalists, what the problems are at Fulham. But let's look forward. Obviously, it's likely we're going to get relegated. And I'll ask a question to you towards the end of the show. Who do you think will be the 13 that will get relegated? but let's look forward in terms of, obviously, Fulham are going to go into the Championship. Scott Parker, what are your thoughts on Scott Parker being a potential contender for that role? Is he the right level of experience the club needs? Do we need to promote you?
I know Scott a little bit. I like Scott. I think he brings an honesty, a transparency. I think he understands the leagues well, the English system well. It looks to me as though he's got the confidence and intention of the players. I think they treat him seriously. We've seen it before. Listen, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's gone and at Manchester United hasn't done too bad. Now, I know Scott's not had the results in the same way. I think we've seen a little bit of change in the way they play. We've seen a little bit of improvement. We're talking about the Premier League, where it's relentless in terms of the attacking threats. I would like to see him being given a chance. I think the club's had a lot of upheaval over the course of the last year. Let's show another manager with another set of ideas, with another group of players, you know, changing. This club needs to almost bed down. It does need to do a little bit of business. I think it's overloaded with a certain type of player, some of which you're not going to want to play maybe in the Championship. But it has a chance to kind of freshen up, come back again leaner, better, more focused, understanding of what's happened. Remember Burnley Football Club a couple of seasons ago? Was sort of that team. Weren't quite good enough for the Premier League, went down. They kept Sean Dyche. He built a club again, rebuilt the club again, come up, and now they've come up and stayed up. West Bromwich Albion have done that in the past. It's not necessarily change is always going to be the best thing. And I think I get the sense that Scott deserves his chance. He's sat next to a lot of experienced managers. He's been in, worked under some great managers. He's obviously got his own ways and his own thought. I think he deserves a chance to be given a go.
Yeah, I think the problem from what I'm seeing, obviously being based here in London, is that there seems to be a divided opinion amongst the fans. I'm not too sure the fans are totally convinced he's the right person. Not to say he shouldn't be given a chance. You know, I'm still uncertain. I think there's still some scars when we got relegated a few seasons ago. McGath didn't work out in the Championship. We then brought in a local player in Kit Simons. That didn't quite work out either. So I think there's a lot of concern around if we want to bounce straight back up, then is he the right type of player? Or does he need to be given time? Look at Frank Lampard, you know, world-class player.
Yeah, Frank did a good job.
He needs time. Absolutely. He needs time. We can't,
absolutely.
You know.
I mean, there's no guarantee that you go and get David Wagner or whoever, you know, the names that are out there. There's absolutely no guarantee that they get you to bounce straight back either. You know, sometimes that takes a year or two or three. He doesn't like this player. He doesn't like this style of play. And that can take long. So nobody gives a guarantee, but I think Scott, given the confidence and the support of the ownership and a little bit of chance to mould that team, there's enough in that team to get back out of the Championship if they can keep enough key players and key pieces together. You know, it's a club that's come down, so it'll have parachute money, so there should be a little bit of finance to do a couple of good things and give themselves a chance. They start the season well. The momentum gets going. You know what the cottage is like when it's buzzing and there's a real good atmosphere. We saw that in promotion the last time around. So it'd be good to see. I would just like to see a young English coach be given the chance. And listen, if we come to Christmas and they're way out the running or nowhere near, everybody knows what the repercussions of that could be.
Exactly. And I think we're in a much favourable position this time around, and when we get relegated, is we've got assets, we've got valuable assets. 5 years ago,
correct,
we had agents.
Yeah,
now we've got
the cupboard was bare.
Exactly. So if there's sensible investment in the summer or wheeler dealing activities, you know, we can recoup a lot of our, you know, transfer fees from last year and use that for strengthening and building a Championship squad. I keep comparing ourselves to Wolverhampton, who've done an amazing job this season. And
absolutely.
Maybe they were ready
how
they've to get promoted. They didn't make too much.
There wasn't too much change in the Wolves team. I mean, they've been very clever with the association with Jorge Mendes and the Portuguese players. But
that was key, Robbie, to be honest with you, that arrangement.
Yeah.
The arrangement with George Mendes being the key for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And, you know, and again, it's a good point by you, and that, but it also shows me that Fulham need to do it a different way when they go down, because obviously they're not going to have that type of relationship where they were ready-made when they were in the championship. So that's why I'm curious to see how they're going to build it this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's what the club have to do, and the ownership and director and technical people and the staff. You have to have a vision. You have to stick to it, you know, and listen, it's a bumpy road back in the championships. 46 tough games, most midweeks, and you know your cup competitions thrown in as well. And it's a slog, but Fulham know what it is. They've been there. As long as they go back down and mentally accept that they're down, get their hands dirty again. Don't think they're Premier League players who shouldn't be playing at that level. I've seen that at teams like Stoke City, where I was born, I've got local affiliations, and it's like Stoke City haven't quite got to grips with doing the championship. And Fulham need to do that and work their way out, and if they do, they can come back stronger.
Okay, very good. I believe Emilio had one final question for you.
Yeah, I think so. The only thing I was going to ask you, Robbie, is like, put your neck on the line here, is who's going to be that third team? You know, who's going to go down? It's all a bit tight.
Tough to say, and it's a really tough call, but I still think, and I said it a while, I still think it'll be Cardiff. As well as they've done, and as much as Neil Warnock's done with the team, and obviously the tragedy that they've dealt with so very well at the football club, I still think they might just run out of quality as we come to the end of the season. So, yeah, I'd probably go Cardiff now as my team to go down.
Okay, very good.
Unless Fulham win every game from now, 6-0. The greatest of great escapes.
We're
football fans. We're always optimistic.
It's not before over until it's over.
Right, exactly. Before I let you go, I know you're in Boston for the Premier League Fan Fest. So what are you looking forward to being in Boston? Have you been to Boston before?
I've been to Boston once or twice, but everybody tells me this is one of the premier sports towns in the US. So I just want to see what they think of Premier League football and what Premier League football thinks of them and how it is. We've been to DC, we've been to New York, you know, we've come to another major East Coast location, and Robbie Musto actually lives here, so there's lots of pressure on Musto to make sure the Boston delivers. So I'm there with my pen waiting to put some crosses on our hit list of good things.
Well, that's great, Robbie. Listen, I want to thank you for your time today.
Pleasure.
And it's been a pleasure having you on.
Yeah.
But
no problem.
Before we go,
let's speak maybe in the summer or something.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For our special guest, Robbie Earl, I'm Russ Goldman and Emilio Donnell. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.